All right, guys. Welcome to this week's fifth quarter podcast. We're named. I remembered the name Oof. This time. We're Oof. Good. Welcome to this week's podcast where we review week five and preview week six. Nick, let's start off with, I should probably explain this. So for a few seconds, Hayden's not feeling so well, so he'll join in for
bit under the weather.
A bit under the weather. He'll join in for those bad power rankings that he always gives.
Terrible power rankings.
Yeah. So we should have fun with that once we make fun of him. But yeah, he'll do team of the week and power rankings. So he'll join us for that. But for the other segments, it'll just be me and Nick. So let's start off with So let's start off with our biggest stories of week five. Personally, I didn't feel like there are that many big stories, but for me, my biggest story was Mark Ingram and Drew Brees. Drew Brees making history, becoming the quarterback with the most passing yards in NFL history, surpassing Peyton Manning on Monday. And I mean, he put up a great performance in front of the crowd. 26 for 29, 363 yards and three passing touchdowns. And he created history. I don't know where he'll end up in the lists of people's or their GOAT lists, but I think he's been historically great. He's done a lot for New Orleans, and it's just cool to see that that he broke a record that, and look, it's Peyton. As a Tom Brady fan, anything that happens to Peyton that's negative brings me joy. Wow. Because he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, but his brother had more Super Bowls than him for a good amount of time. But yeah.
Who did he beat in the Super Bowl, bud?
Hey, man, we're not talking about that. But yeah, Drew Brees came back, or Drew Brees up a great performance. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was, the other biggest news was the return of Mark Ingram. And if you're an Alvin Kamara owner in fantasy football, you're really, really, really mad.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram, not amazing in his return, but 16 for 53, two touchdowns.
Just two touchdowns that are big.
Yeah, and two for 20 receiving. So, I mean, he didn't, put up flashy numbers, but
it was not a good rushing night for either of the Saints running backs. Did a really good job up front with that.
When you have Drew Brees,
when you have the threat of Drew Brees,
think about how bad this was, man. They took out Josh Norman in the first drive of the second half until one of their DBs got burned for a touchdown, and they just had to put him back in. Yeah. So it was a bad night all around. I'd like to say that I'd like to bring up the fact that I sadly did pick the Washington Redskins beating the Saints last week on Pigskin Pick'em. I thought that
I did too, though.
I thought that maybe that defense could the Washington Redskins defense could maybe, slow down the Saints offense. And for the most part, I guess they slowed down Kamara. But that's not really.
Well, they did a really good job stopping the rush in total. Kamara, I'm not sure of his exact stats, but he only had three fantasy points, so it couldn't have been great. Mark Ingram being held to 53, but I mean, you get in the goal line situation, the Saints are going to score every time.
Yeah. And for me, that was going to lead into, I believe that now, even though defensively they struggled, they'd been fine offensively the first few weeks. I think that now we're going to see the New Orleans Saints pick up from where they were last season and be a Super Bowl contender. They get a bye this week, but they get the Ravens, Vikings, Rams, Bengals, Eagles. So from week 7 to week 11, I mean, that's a tough games. Stretch. Yeah, it's big games. And then you have the two Panthers games at the end. But having Drew Brees play extremely well will always help. The return of Mark Ingram, if you're if you're looking at a pure football perspective, I look at it. I like to look at things for fantasy football. That's just me. But if you're a Saints fan, you're happy. Last year, I mean, there were games where you needed Drew Brees, Drew Brees would be there. But you ran the ball, and it's just gonna be, they're gonna be, yeah. And the defense, you know, they only allowed Washington to put up 19, and I'm not gonna say that Washington is some offensive powerhouse. We know about Alex Smith's check down bombs, you know, five yard passes to the running back, but I mean, he struggled. 275 and one pick. I mean, the best rusher was Chris Thompson, 8 carries, 17 yards. Adrian Peterson got completely destroyed
early in the game.
Early in the game. I mean,
took a swing pass, folded, got hit right in the knees.
Yeah, it was bad, but
I could have been a lot worse for him though. There's no ligament damage.
Yeah, but he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we remember years ago where he came back from an ACL injury, and but yeah, look, the last 2 weeks against what we think would be better offenses, the Saints defense has played well, allowing 18 to the Giants and 19 to the Redskins. So I think that maybe the Saints defense gets better. I mean, you know, if they improve, I don't know if they'll reach the level that they were last year. I thought because they were just dominant, but they're going to need to play well. I mean, let's see. Like I said, Ravens coming back, they're a disappointing team, but that's
– really can't figure out the Ravens. Some weeks they play really well. The other weeks they just don't show up.
And the thing is that I truly thought they were AFC contenders. I mean, the defense is – I mean, they only held the Cleveland Browns to 12 points. And let's not – I'm not going to say only. They lost. Yeah. But the defense showed up.
It's more holding the Browns to 12 points.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're first – now they're first in pass defense. Or in – and sorry, in points allowed. They're first in 15.4 points allowed. I mean, this is a great defense. It's just that the offense, man –
there's no running game. Joe Flacco.
There's no running game. 25th in rushing yards. I mean, it's you'd hope that you know maybe they improve, but it's inconsistency with the. I mean, because look, they've beaten the Steelers. So look, they've beaten the Steelers and the Broncos. Not Broncos, not really powerhouses, but I mean they're 3-2, but two games that they in division games. The Bengals and the Browns, they've lost, and the Bengals the Bengals won their game. So, I think that if the Ravens can figure it out, they'll be fine. But they're just confusing the team. But I think the Saints will beat them, anyways. I mean, having Mark Ingram return and you playing that defense, they'll be fine. But the Vikings, Rams, Bengals, and Eagles, for me. The Vikings game, I think offensively, it'll be a shootout. But to me, I'm just interested in seeing the Rams game. With weapons like Kamara and Ingram, Michael Thomas and Drew Brees, I mean, they're going to put up points. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Rams defense will shut them down. But it'll be interesting to me to see, I think that we're going to see two of the most talented players in the league and Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley that game, but we'll probably talk about that game later down the line. But yeah, so basically my biggest story was the return of Mark Ingram, Drew Brees breaking records, and he will break many more. And how I think that the Saints I think we're going to see them, I guess get ready for a Super Bowl run this year. What about you, Nick? What was your biggest story?
Well, if we're talking just NFL, the kickers suck this year. They are really bad.
So, okay. I don't want to interrupt you. Look, did you see the end of the Browns game? Gary Joseph's
unfortunate.
Game-winning kick?
Unfortunately,
okay.
I did.
Okay. I would like to say that my favorite thing was Hugh came in. And he gave the ball to Gary Joseph, the game ball. I think it was Gary Joseph. That was the name of the kicker, right? I want to say that was his name.
It's okay. It's
Greg Joseph. Greg Joseph. Yeah. I'm sorry. Look, man, nobody's going to remember his name because he'll be cut by, like, next week.
Yeah, dude.
Look. He got the game ball. he got the game ball, and kudos to him. But I mean, look, man.
It's his fault they had to go to overtime for this.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was 2 for 3 from field goal and field goals attempts, right? He hit it wide left to put them, and they would have won the game. But I mean, for me, man, what shocked me was I was watching the end of the Browns game live. So I see him kick the ball, and I'm like, did it just get deflected? Did the Ravens, are we really going to get another tie this year? And no, it just turns out he couldn't. He didn't kick it. It barely went over. Now.
Yeah.
He made it. It doesn't matter how you win as long as you win. But to me, man. Sorry.
It's one thing to hit a bad kick, but that it looked like the kick got blocked.
Yeah. But, yeah. But at least he made it. Now, I'm going to let you talk about your kicker. Oh, man.
Crosby shouldn't be cut yet.
Well, why would you cut Mason Crosby?
If he has another week like this, he can pack his bags. But, I mean, kickers have rough games. It's a mental game. It's not like he was missing easy kicks outside of the 30-yarder and the extra point. Everything he was missing was from 45-plus. So those aren't easy kicks, but they're things he should be making. But it's not even just a Mason Crosby going 1 for 7 or 1 for 6 on kicks. It's the fact that Justin Tucker missed a clutch field goal late in that Baltimore Browns game. Kaeem Fairburn missed a late field – or no, not a late field goal, but he missed a field goal in the Texans game. That game ended up going overtime. There's only 4 teams in the NFL who have not missed a field goal yet. And all those teams have kicked the field goals less than 10 times. So it just seems like kicking across the board this year in the NFL has gone down. People are missing extra points left and right.
And I was going to say, do you remember a few years ago where the extra point wasn't at the 15-yard line?
Yeah, it was like a 99.9% make.
Yeah. I mean, now you have – I want to say the preseason early in the regular season. I remember, like, they were talking – like, you saw, like, kickers missing it. And, I mean, it's nice. But I would like to say if Mason Crosby – I mean, look, you lose by 8.
You take 13 points off the board.
Now, look. That's not to say, because that's not how. Look, it's. If we're being real, if he makes one of those, like, even one of those field goals being made kind of changes the how the whole game is played, because maybe Detroit goes a little more aggressive at certain points, or they do, or it just. I feel like one made field goal would have changed the whole dynamic of the game, but. You still want Mason Crosby. But I do want to ask you this. Aaron Rodgers was frustrated the whole game. I would like to say that Mason Crosby isn't the only reason he was frustrated. I truly do believe frustrated with – yeah. I just wanted to ask about that. Like, what's your opinion of Aaron Rodgers and what he thinks? Because he's – you know, I've been getting like – you always get alerts like Aaron Rodgers is like –
Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the offense. Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, and heated.
Or he'll make a comment that is,
and it gets blown up.
You know, towards
So, well, I guess that wraps up my kind of big story. All I really had to say was NFL kickers suck again.
Yeah.
But this whole issue regarding the Packers, part of it I think is Aaron Rodgers is frustrated. He can't play like the way he likes to play with his whole knee and hamstring issues. He can't be as mobile as he would like to be. And he survived off his mobility because the Packers' line has never been all that great.
Yeah, I mean,
they can buy him enough time to run away. That's what they.
On Sunday, he was sacked, or he was I remember seeing like 2 forced fumbles on him.
Yeah, one of them was Bakhtiari missed block, his only missed block of the season. Completely missed Ezekiel Ansah. Came, hit him from behind, he lost the ball. You can't really put that one on Aaron Rodgers. If he totally cannot see a guy coming, it hit in the back, he can't help it. One of them, he decided to run in the pocket. He tried to escape the pocket, and he got stripped in the red zone. I believe it was like the 12-yard line, and he lost the ball. And that's on him.
Yeah.
Like Mason Crosby may have taken 13 points off the board. Aaron Rodgers right there is responsible for losing a touchdown, which may have made this game a hell of a lot closer. So... But a lot of his frustration comes. Mike McCarthy shouldn't have been the play caller 4 years ago. He shouldn't be the play caller now. I don't know why they still have him making play calls. Because every game the offense starts slow because McCarthy wants to call his plays. Halftime they realize, oh, we're getting outworked offensively and our defense can't stop this forever. Matthew Stafford didn't play well. They just capitalized off.
He did not.
Given the ball at the 5 yard line by a muff punt. Aaron Rodgers' fumble was returned to midfield. They a lot of times were working with a short field. Stafford had zero rushing yards. He was sacked four times, and he only had 15 completions. That is a really good game from the Packers' defense, stat-wise.
And that's what I was going to say. And going in, I remember you saying the Packers' defense should improve. Look, they're fourth in total yards allowed. They're second in passing yards allowed. Tied for 15th in rushing, but they're tied for 13th in points allowed. So, I mean, they're a lot better than what Green Bay has had in the Aaron Rodgers
era. A lot better.
Era.
A lot of it, they're by Pro Football Focus measures, their two rookie corners are two of the five highest-rated rookie secondary players in the NFL. Jair Alexander being the second, only 0.3 behind Denzel Ward, and Josh Jackson being in fourth. So they're playing well. I think a lot of frustration comes. This has happened, and the Packers always start slow. They always start bad this season because they can't get their shit together. I don't know why, but this always just happens. But I think Rodgers is being more vocally frustrated about it now because he knows he has a good defense. And he knows he's winning these games. Like, this shouldn't be happening.
No. And injuries, I feel like, kind of also
the fact
don't
that
help.
They're not plagued with injuries as much as they usually are either. They've had, they don't have Randall Cobb. He's never been anything great. Jarno Allison, he's a plug-and-play guy. His replacement, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, had
played
a
pretty well. Yeah,
He played really well. Their O-line is fully healthy. Their running back is fully
healthy. Saint Brown. I love that name.
What a stud. Their running backs are healthy. Aaron Jones is playing out of his mind. Kid's averaging almost 8 yards a carry.
But they
and
don't
Mike
run
McCarthy
him,
will
though.
Only give him the ball five times a game.
This comes from
McCarthy should not be calling the plays. Because he
seven
calls the plays
for 40
half.
Yards.
If you look at Packer games, compare their first half to the second half is leaps and bounds better because they have a combination of Aaron Rodgers and Joe Philbin calling the plays, not Mike McCarthy.
Play
call duties stripped from him. That's what I
just
think.
Wanted to say, Aaron Jones, 24 for 147, 6.1 yards averaged running this. So, I mean, he's been pretty good at running.
Yeah, like you need to. And he has a higher blocking grade than Jamal Williams. And their whole excuse for not playing,
which is weird because they say Jamal Williams is the better pass blocker.
Exactly, that's our whole excuse for not playing Aaron Jones more. Is Jamal Williams is the better pass blocker. We need protection help. No, you need to establish a run game so they don't blitz you every play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, the Packers figured out because it is
they will eventually. It's just how
the
long it will take.
Bad man, yeah.
How long will it take them to get through their thick heads that McCarthy should not call the plays?
They're 2-2-1 right now. I mean, the Vikings aren't.
Thankfully, the Vikings.
Thankfully, the
both
Vikings
have
are
losses. Everything is still up for grabs in the AFC. Everything, but I think the one seed is up for grabs.
Yeah. But I mean, look, Chicago's 3-1. You still get one more game against them,
and we have the winner.
So, So I mean, we'll see how it goes.
I think Rodgers is just frustrated not being able to do the things he wants. That's just what I think it is. Combination of injuries, personnel choices, play calling, things like that. Things that he wouldn't usually be frustrated about if he didn't think this team was a Super Bowl contender. Which it should be.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, look, you were talking about the defense, so I believed you, and it seems like they've been playing a lot better. And for me, Green Bay having the offense that they do, having the most talented quarterback in football.
Yep. Never in anybody's life did they think Green Bay's problems would be stemming from their offense and their defense would be the unit playing well. That's never happened in this decade so far.
Yeah. But we'll see if they probably, like I said, they will figure out their
problems.
Hopefully
it starts with this Monday game against San Francisco.
Look, you play San Francisco, if I'm correct, they go into their bye right after. Yes, they go into their bye after the San Francisco game, so it'll be a perfect time. But then you have Rams, Patriots, first two games. I mean, that's two L's right there. All right, now it's time for us to discuss the game that we felt that we needed to talk about. And I'm going to let Nick start off with this.
Oof. All right, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Steelers and the Falcons in a must-win matchup for both teams. The Falcons, as predicted, fell flat on their face, like most
But
of what
not
most
how
of
we
the franchise
expected them
do.
to.
Yeah, they weren't able to not outscore. They were not able to score at all, which, to the surprise of a lot, the Steelers' defense played really well. Atlanta's defense played poorly, like usual, and more turmoil for the Atlanta Falcons, which is always fun.
So one of the things I did want to talk about was the Steelers. So the Steelers against what was one of the highest scoring offenses going into this game, the Steelers defense had for the most part not been good. I mean, they had been struggling all year, but I mean, they're 29th in yards allowed and 25th in points allowed. So it, they had been, I thought Atlanta was going to put up more than 17 points when, I mean, they were tied for 9th in points scored. Atlanta, man, I'm not even going to I'm for the most part it's been their defense, right? We all agree that it's been their
My
de-
whole thing,
we
you
both
can't tell me this team went from Super Bowl to this bad just by losing two defensive starters. I don't care how much that's not what happened. Something else is happening with this team. Two defensive starters doesn't take your team from 28-point lead in the Super Bowl to you can't beat one of the worst defensive teams in football.
Because even then, the Falcons' defense last season was actually pretty good. I mean, I think that they were pretty good. But yeah,
Reason why
I
Jones
don't know what's
be
going on
having
with
a
them.
bigger impact.
Wait, you're cutting out a little. Can you repeat what you said?
There's no reason why Julio Jones should be having this little of an impact
Yeah.
offensively. Like,
But maybe, I mean,
five
maybe
for
this is
62,
just.
no touchdowns against on 10 targets. He only caught 50% of his targets.
Yeah, I don't know. The Falcons offensively have
Getting
been
manned
doing
up
well.
by Cody Sensabaugh and Artie Burns.
I mean, the Falcons offense had been pretty well this year. I thought that it was just mainly it was the defense,
You can't
but
get it done against the Pittsburgh defense, then I'm sorry.
yeah. I mean, look,
You
Choice
manage
Stew Pat.
63 yards of team rushing. Like,
Yeah. I mean, 324 total yards, was what the Falcons had, and they were at this season they've been averaging 393, so they struggled a lot, and I mean
the fact that Mohamed
maybe
Sanu is your impact. Mohamed Sanu has not been doing anything these past 2 years. He has not been living up to his potential in this offense. He was your impact player on offense. Out of Devonta Freeman, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, you end up with Mohamed Sanu being your impact player.
yeah, I mean look. Calvin Ridley 4 for 38, Julio Jones 5 for 62. The fact that their leading receiver was Austin Hooper 9 for 77, it's not much of a good look. But for me, this I just wanted to say that if Pittsburgh's defense can do this to the Falcons offense, and I'm not saying that the Falcons offense is the Rams or the Chiefs even, but if they can hold their own against an offense like that, and if they continue improving, if they can improve, I think the Steelers are going to start, going back to being the Super Bowl contender that we all saw them to be. But
maybe.
yeah, I mean, to me, it's just them, them getting Le'Veon soon. That's going to help them tremendously. Even though James Conner played really well, and we'll discuss James Conner a little more later, but yeah, we'll see how they do. I mean, look, they still have given up a bunch of points, but a showing against the Falcons like that,
Their defense,
41-17.
I don't consider this a breaking out for their defense. I still don't trust them,
I don't either,
but
but
this
and
just proves how little you can trust the Falcons in my eyes.
to me, if they can do this to Cincinnati, I think it'll look better because Cincinnati's, I mean, they're fourth in points scored. For all the shit we give Andy Dalton, I mean, he's been,
He's been
man,
playing well.
I mean, look, I still go back to that stat that I remember that Matthew Berry gives often. With their offensive coordinator, Andy Dalton's been top five. When their new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, came in at
He's never won a passing last touchdown season in the NFL.
He's been playing great. I mean,
he runs a college offense. It's not something hard to play.
Andy Dalton, I mean, 12-7, he's been solid. And the return of Joe Mixon will make it a little trickier for Pittsburgh next week. But, I think it'll be a great game to see. For me, what this game showed is that the Steelers' defense, I guess, can be solid. The Falcons' struggles are now more than just defense. Because, to me,
this was more of a Falcons being inept on offense than the Pittsburgh defense playing well when they need to.
Okay.
The Falcons did not look good. They looked terrible the whole game.
Yeah. And I think if you're a fantasy player who has felt like he's been underwhelming this year,
stay away from this entire team. Stay away from the Falcons.
Antonio Brown 6 for 101 and 2 touchdowns. So
stay away from all Atlanta running backs. Stay away from everybody not named Julio Jones on offense. Even Julio Jones isn't playing well fantasy-wise.
Well, he's not playing as well where you drafted him, but if you
late first rounder, yeah.
I mean, if you – yeah. In one of my drafts, somebody picked him first. So, yeah. I honestly, going into this season, I thought that we'd see the same Falcons team that's top five or maybe even one in first in scoring like they were in 2016. I will say this: Matt Ryan has never been fortunate with when it comes to offensive coordinators. The past few years, he hasn't been fortunate with offensive coordinators with a lot of turnover in offensive coordinators. So, I thought that maybe this year. And I mean, the offense has been really good, but that's just been out of necessity, because the defense hasn't been great. So, we'll see Sunday against the Buccaneers.
If they lose that game,
I think you tank and you just.
No, well, there should be some personnel changes.
Yeah. Do you think Dan Quinn, I mean, second no. Playoff in two of his 4 years, I don't think they're making it this year.
I think you look more at their defense, coordinators, coaches.
But Dan Quinn's a defensive-minded coach.
You can't – because your defense plays poorly, I don't think it's really calls for a head coach, but just because you lose two starters doesn't mean your defense should collapse totally like this. Like, your coordinators and coaches should have a better handle on your team than this.
Yeah. And for Atlanta, I just want to see their schedule. Buccaneers, Giants, Redskins, Browns, Cowboys. So from week 6 to week 11, winnable matchups. So we could see them rebound, I guess, and look better. But that Buccaneers game, they're going to get scored on, and it's not going to look good for the defense. But, yeah, when it comes to Pittsburgh – you know, James Conner looked really good. Like I said, I'll talk about him later. And Antonio Brown is starting to pick it up a little more. Pittsburgh just completely dominated Atlanta. My game I wanted to discuss was basically everybody's game of the week, which was Jacksonville, Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs in a game I did not expect them to win 30-14, just beat down Jacksonville. I mean, it was just a rough game for both sides in a way. Pat Mahomes struggled, 22 for 38, 313 yards, but he threw his first two picks of his of this season, but he ran for a rushing touchdown. So shaky game, but I think if I remember correctly, I remember seeing a tweet. He's the first quarterback to throw over 300 yards on Jacksonville. So there's that.
All right.
But for the most part,
this season, I assume?
Even going into last season, I think. I think twice going into since last season, they've given up more than 300 yards to a passing. But, I mean, Travis Kelce had a big... was
Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs last year.
Well, yeah, because they were getting... Jackson. I mean, the Steelers were trailing big that whole game, if I remember correctly. So,
yeah.
But Travis Kelce, big game, 5 for 100. Sammy Watkins, 6 for 78, and the reception specialist Tyreek Hill, 4 for 61. Kareem Hunt, 22 for 87 rushing and a touchdown. So to me, I think that if we saw what a struggling Blake Bortles looks like. I did not expect Blake Bortles to struggle this game. Kansas City has had one of the worst defenses in the league. You could probably say the worst. I mean, look, he put up 430 yards. That's because he kind of had to. They'd been trailing big throughout the whole game. I'm trying to see if I can find the score at halftime. Let me see. At halftime, let's see. It was, man, I can't find the score at halftime. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can. But I remember they were trailing big. But basically, Jacksonville struggled. I thought that their defense could slow down Mahomes, and they kind of did in a way where he didn't put up those huge numbers. But, I mean, the defense allowed a lot of points. They're not the number one scoring defense anymore. As I mentioned, it's the Ravens now. I think that if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're not too worried, but you've seen your defense now, you know, give up a lot of points to the Chiefs, and to me, do you think, okay, thank you, Hayden, thank you for sending it to me, 20-0 at half. So, Blake Bortles, usually you don't want to depend on him to bring you back passing. But, yeah, to me, I think that what this more to me shows that you can't depend on Blake Bortles as your quarterback. I mean, look, four picks. We saw what almost was a potential fifth pick was that one of the picks? I think it was – yeah, it was one of the picks, sorry, where it hit – an old lineman's helmet.
Yeah, he threw it.
His left ricocheted guard's off. Dead. Yeah, yeah. He and it just bounced off his hat, his helmet, and right into a Chiefs defender's arms. So, yeah, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs have now shown me, at least, that they are. This is more than just a hot start from last season, because if we remember correctly, the first five games, I mean, they were one of the highest scoring teams. Even with Alex Smith. So, to me, this game showed me more about the Chiefs' offense, and the defense improved. I mean, look, the Jacksonville, for all that we bash Blake Bortles, I mean, the Jacksonville offense they've been all right. I mean, look, 20 against the Giants, 31 against the Patriots, and 31 against the Jets. So, they've been able to put up – they've been all right on offense, but I think that they're going to be held back by Blake Bortles. And the Kansas City Chiefs are looking really good, and they're going into a big game against the New England Patriots.
All right.
So, yeah. Which now leads us into our teams of the week, since both are related to our game. So I'll go first. My team of the week was the Kansas City Chiefs. Just even when their starting quarterback struggles, they found ways to win. I mean, four picks, the defense showed up. I think that if for me, this Kansas City defense, if they can continue putting up performances like this, where it's not really they have to dominate, just let the offense do their thing, get a few stops. If that happens all season long, they're going to find themselves very deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was definitely a good showing for the Chiefs.
Yeah. And we already, like I said, we already knew the offense was good, but I think that it's encouraging if you're a Chiefs fan or the Chiefs coaching staff, that your defense can put up a performance like this, including when you're going into probably the biggest game of Patrick Mahomes' career and probably your biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, for me, like I said, the Chiefs are the team of the week because they and probably one of the toughest matchups that they've had, they were able to play really well and for a team that had already been very impressive, I think they managed to impress me even more with the way the defense stepped up.
Yeah. For my team of the week, I picked the Steelers just because of the way they dismantled the Falcons. Their defense played well. Their offense did what it needed to do. Special teams played well. It was just an all-around really good performance from them. And a game they've really had to win.
Yeah.
Like, nobody expected them to hold the Falcons to 17 points.
Not at all. And now, I mean, look, they're in a decent position in their division. And more foreshadowing, we'll talk about the AFC North a little more a little later on. But, yeah, I mean, they put themselves in a position where they now face Cincinnati and they can, you know, go up in their division. So, yep, those are the games I want to talk about and our teams of the week. And now it is time for our That's a Lot of Damage Player of the Week. And this segment is not sponsored by Phil Swift or the Flex Seal Tape or whatever other products, family of products. But if Phil Swift, if you're somehow listening to this, you want to give us a sponsorship, hey, we're here. You want to be your sponsors? We're here. We're willing to work with you, my friend. So we'll start off with our sick friend.
Sick boy.
Yeah, they couldn't keep me out of the whole podcast. I definitely had to come in here and bring some common sense to the podcast. So I do it for you guys.
Hold up. Okay, we're going to
have number one on power rankings.
But, okay, so for mine, I got a little bit of a soundbite I'd like to play to start mine off.
Oh, my God.
So with that, which is probably one of the best commentating jobs of the whole season, Graham Gineau is the player of the week for me. When you nail a 63-yard kick to win a game, I consider that pretty freaking awesome. And he freaking saved my favorite team from losing to the Giants. I would have taken a bunch of crap from my roommate. So I appreciate what Graham Gano did for me and what he did for my favorite team, bailing them out of the game after some terrible clock management on that.
Yeah, we didn't get first team bailing Cam Newton out of yet another poor performance.
We're doing so well on a non-biased side.
Smells like bias.
It smells like bias. Okay, but yes, that call was amazing.
It was a good call.
I watched that kick, to be fair, I kind of Blair Walshed it, but
I tried to do
the Blair Walsh chance a couple this weekend, and it didn't work.
The thing is, I know Nick and my roommates tried to do the Blair Walsh chant for this, but
it's three people, right?
Off the TV, so we had to like scramble to get it streaming. Yeah,
wait,
it's three
if I'm
people.
Correct, it's three people.
It is. You have to have at least three people for the Blair Walsh chant to be full in effect. So,
what would you like to tell our many many viewers? What also, that chant actually is?
I also wanted to do it against the Tennessee game just to see how it goes.
So, I mean, for people that don't know, the chant is pretty much when they show the camera angle, like the final camera angle on the kick, that's when we start chanting Blair Walsh. And it was 2 years ago when this started. It actually started with Graham Gineau missing a kick against the Broncos. And from that point, I think we got like five or six in a row where we chanted Blair Walsh. And it actually, the kickers ended up missing the kick. So it was pretty incredible.
And it was a fun time. This all stems from his missed, if I remember correctly, his missed field goal against the Seahawks, was it?
The playoffs? It was from Blair Walsh's missed kick against the Seahawks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fun times. Thanks for bringing a kicker as your player of the week.
Hey, you know, it's going to be probably the only kicker that ever gets in this segment. So.
Greg Joseph.
So
Greg Joseph would like to disagree.
That could be Mason Crossbar, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my.
Hey, he'd be lucky if he could hit the crossbar.
Hey,
Greg. Oh, way to copy Skip Bayless over there. God.
Hey, it's a quality name. I got to give Skip Bayless that. It's a quality name.
I just can't wait till the day you come in here and you're
Skip
like,
Bayless
Cowherd
would know a lot about Mason Crosby.
That Cowherd guy kind of speaks some truth. That's the day. That's the day.
No,
I'll be done
that'll never
here.
Happen. Hey, you know, you give me shit for my takes, but I called the Browns are going to win, and they won.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
A broken clock right twice a day.
That's a lot of damage player of the week. My honorable mention would be James Conner. He did well, but we already discussed him. So I'm going to go with, and same with this player, but I got to give it to Drew Brees. I mean, against a Washington defense that was on a bye, for the most part had been pretty solid. I mean, they're seventh in passing yards allowed. So, and fifth in total yards. I mean, they're not a joke. They're not their offense. I'll tell you that. But he went off.
That's a good pick. I like this pick.
Yeah, he went off. I mean, and breaking the passing yards record. You got to give it to the guy. He played really well. Made history.
I will say, the Redskins defense did decide to not play defense on the catch that ended up getting him the record. I don't know if they just like, oh, we'll give Drew Brees that, because there was no one around around the receiver.
Look,
that,
he was gonna make history either way. You either could you can either sit back and allow it to happen, or will it matter?
It was cool that it was a touchdown when it happened, because the game was able to stop and celebrate with his family and everything. So that it was a really cool scene to see all that go down.
Imagine if it was just like a 5 yard pass to Taysom Hill.
I'm curious if they would like stop the game.
Their quarterback, running back, what is he like, wide receiver? Just that.
I hate
the Swiss Army knife for the Taysom NFL. I love Taysom Hill.
Don't even get me started with Taysom
Hill.
Shout
out BYU. Shout out all my Mormons out there.
You can thank Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for ruining Taysom Hill for me.
They genuinely love that man, because during the Atlanta game, they were just talking Taysom Hill up much. It was,
oh my gosh! During both the Panthers,
fastest
and Saints
quarterback ever
year,
time at the combine. Give him some respect.
Going crazy about him. But yeah, okay. Drew Brees, whatever you say. A good pick, though. We Taysom Hill shouldn't have got his name mentioned in this podcast, especially in this segment.
Taysom Hill's the fastest QB ever timed at the combine.
Well, congrats.
153.8 is the – hold up. 153.8 is the maximum quarterback rating. Or is it 158?
158.8. I don't know. It's one of those. I think it's
okay, well, I just wanted to – yeah,
I
just wanted to say that Drew Brees had a 153.2 quarterback rating. I mean, look, 26 for 29. The guy was flawless against a really good passing defense.
Josh Norman was pretty shitty, but yeah, I'll still give credit to
And me and Nick talking about it a little earlier, where he got it. Did you hear about that? Where he got taken out of a drive?
Yeah,
touchdown,
yeah.
And then they're like, "All right, fine, we gotta put him back in." Josh Norman has not had a fun time in Washington. He was what the number one corner with when he was with the Panthers. He was a lockdown corner and then left to Washington and hasn't been the same.
Yeah. Should have stayed on the Panthers. You shouldn't have bitched about his contract.
I'd also like to give an honorable mention to Michael Thomas for 4 for 74, but hasn't been. Hey, Nick, you enjoying that trade far, bud? Josh Gordon had 13 points last week.
If we're talking about fantasy, I just have to throw in.
No!
Mike.
No! Why did I bring it up? No! Why did I bring it up?
So if we go back to the last segment, my team of the week would be my fantasy team over Johan.
Yeah, your fantasy team can go screw itself. And here's the bad part, right? So me and Hayden made a bet where a loser had to pick up the Kansas City Chiefs defense, and I'm trying to make it so I can use the Patriots defense. Look, at the end of the day, both defenses are going to be really bad. But my opponent this week, one, has Tom Brady. Two, I have to cheer for – so every touchdown that Tom Brady throws will hurt me and help my opponent. It hurts a lot. I have to cheer against –
it's a great time. It's going to be a great time.
What I hope for is that the game ends or I hope that the Patriots win. I said 10-3, but said Brady's going to throw a pick six. Doesn't make sense. So now I'm going to fix the score. I hope that the New England Patriots win 10-7 off of Steven Gostkowski last second field goal. But the only touchdown allowed by the Patriots isn't really allowed by the Patriots defense. It's allowed by the Patriots offense, and it's a pick six from the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'll be 100% honest with you. I did not follow what you just said.
Basically, well, let's get back on topic here. Let's get
back to Nick's.
But my damage player of the week is he didn't have a standout performance, but I picked Todd Gurley. The Seahawks held him relatively in check, 22 for 77. He didn't have a single rush for 20 yards or more. Held him to a 3.5 average, but he still had three touchdowns, and he still broke the game. It's just kind of a testament to how just phenomenal of a player he is.
It's unfair. That seems so unfair.
It is unfair. Yeah. Like, you stop Todd Gurley, and they still have a bunch of weapons at receiver.
You stop Todd Gurley, and he still can't be stopped.
The only way you could stop Gurley. You want to know the only way you could stop that receiving core, too? Injuries.
Give their number one and number two receivers
concussions. Killing Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, man, that team is going to be crazy. If they go 18-1, man, I love it. They're going to go 18-1. I know who their one loss is going to be.
They're going to go 17-1 and lose to the Panthers in the NFC Championship.
Shut the fuck up.
Bias. See, why can't you be sick segment every week? All right, well, that was our – well. That's a lot of damage player of the week. And now it is time.
We love the bias rankings.
For the moment everyone's been waiting for,
I'm sure.
No. We were totally good with you being sick and not coming on the podcast because the amount of bias would go down a lot. But since we'll allow you to do your
Is your power rankings officially sponsored by the NFL?
No, it's
not. You don't even have a power rankings because you're not
getting yours. Yours probably aren't even.
Let's just get this shit
showing. Mine are known by the 20 people that actually watch this podcast, and they appreciate it.
Because watching is more visuals. This is audio.
Gosh, so, man. I guess we'll go ahead. If you guys will allow me to, I will start at number 5. And you can go ahead and already know who this is going to be since they've been consistent. How am I gonna drop them for winning? But I mean,
because you need a 63-yarder to beat the Giants, who scored 31 points and had not scored 30 points in a long time.
Every team except for the Rams have issues. Okay,
Odell Beckham Jr. threw a touchdown on you guys.
Who are you putting in over the Panthers? That's what I want to know.
Wait, so hang on.
The Saints are 4-1.
I will get to them.
Yeah.
And they didn't lose.
I will get to them.
No, they lost to the Bucs, but they did not lose to the Falcons.
Okay, so for me, number 6 would be the Bengals on my list. But the Panthers beat the Bengals. So, I think the Panthers are a better team than the Bengals. I know you guys call biased. And, I mean, last week's game against the Giants for the Panthers, it was definitely a sloppy game. And it was probably the worst game the Panthers have played all year.
Cam, two touchdowns and interceptions, too.
Cam looked good and bad. His interceptions, I don't know what was going on. He only had one interception going into this week, and he goes and throws two picks. But, I mean, it took a 63-yard field goal, but the fact the Panthers found a way to win, I still find that pretty impressive. And you can ask Nick, when the Giants scored on that touchdown – at the end of the game, take the lead. I was still pretty confident the Panthers should pull it out, and they ended up doing it. Of course, some questionable clock management on the final drive, but, you know, a win's a win. And so that gets us to number 4, who you guys mentioned earlier, and that's the New Orleans Saints. And with the Saints, I didn't trust them that much going into last week. But what I saw from their offense with Ingram back – it's going to be pretty insane. And their defense, of course, played really well against the Redskins. So, I mean, the Saints, if their defense can keep it up, I think they're a pretty scary team.
And I did judge the fact that they had the check down bombs for 5 yards to Chris Thompson. But I think that, I think the Saints defense will continue to improve. And yeah, I think that they're going to be ready for a Super Bowl run. And with Mark Ingram back, they're going to be a great offense.
Mm-hmm.
Saints are a good team.
Yeah, very good team. And I mean, look, last year, if you remember, mainly the running game was what, you know, won them games. But I mean, Drew Brees is still going to be there in case you need him.
Exactly. So. And I mean, he proves that. So, I mean, we can now move on to number three, which is Johan's favorite team, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, with the Patriots, I mean,
they're the best.
Is there really any reason I need to say that they're good? I mean, Brady and Belichick prove year in and year out that they're going to be contenders. And I don't know how many straight AFC championships they've made. Johan, you might know, but like, it's at least like 7 or 8, which is pretty incredible.
Straight? Let me go back. We lost to the Jets. Hold up. We lost to the Jets in like 2012. That might be the last time. Yeah. I mean, every single year we lost to the Ravens twice. We lost to the Ravens that one year. Then it's too hard to count. Sorry.
But okay, nonetheless, they still make it to the AFC Championship most years, which is impressive. I mean, I know it's the AFC, but I really don't see anything changing with that. They probably won't run into the Chiefs until the AFC Championship.
Well, they run into them next week.
The Jags, I bumped from my list from last week. I don't see the Jags being too big of a threat with Blake Bortles. I mean, that could change as the year goes on. But yeah, I have the Patriots as a firm number two in the AFC and number three overall in the whole league. And so we can move on to number two, who's the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I did debate putting the Chiefs number one because that game impressed me against the Jags. Their defense was able to step up and actually create plays, create turnovers. And, of course, the offense, I mean, Mahomes didn't play too great. He had 2 picks. But they still won without Mahomes playing his best football. So I think it's super impressive that they put up 30 points, I guess 23 because they had a pick six, against that Jags defense. Is there anything you guys want to add to that?
No.
They're a very good team.
Yeah, if their defense improves and, like I said, they show up like they did last week, if they just have a defense that's been not break and their defense isn't a liability, they're going to be a dangerous team.
Exactly. And, so moving off from the Chiefs, we get to the number one team, which is the Rams. You know, Seattle, I don't view as a great team, but playing in Seattle is never easy. And I think it's super impressive that the Rams are able to grind out that game and win in a tough environment like that. I mean, Goff didn't seem too bad. I don't have his stats in front of me, but he didn't seem rattled at all. He seemed fine playing in that environment. And I really just don't know what will knock the Rams off. I don't know what their weakness is. It's not quarterback anymore. So, I mean, they're the firm best team in the league, in my opinion.
Goff went 23 of 32 for 321 yards, a touchdown, 2 picks.
Okay, so he did have the 2 picks, but
Had an 88 passer rating, and they still won. He did not play great, and they won.
I mean, he didn't play bad, though. I mean, I watched some of that game. It didn't seem like he played terrible, but, I mean, they can win without Jared Goff playing his best game either. I don't really know how you beat the Rams. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a tall task.
I think they're going to go 18-1, but that's just me. That's just me playing around with the fact that I think the Patriots will beat them in the Super Bowl. But that's just me joking around. But they're
They play Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but I think 11. I'm 100% with the Rams.
That game is in Mexico City.
It is in Mexico City, so it's a neutral game. And I saw on Twitter today some casino had a line for the game, and they favored the Rams by 3 in that game. So
I'm gonna go with the Rams that game. If yeah. everybody's healthy, because it's a game that's a little down the line, and
yeah,
things definitely. Change. But at the moment, if you gave me both teams, saying that Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp are healthy, I'm gonna go with the Rams. I think that Kansas City defense isn't anywhere, isn't gonna stop that Rams offense at all. Because I mean, where are you gonna stop them? If you focus on Gurley, you're gonna get burnt badly.
Exactly.
In the air, and if you focus on in the air, I mean. It's Todd Gurley, probably the best running back in the league. So,
I think the only chance a team has at beating them is probably in the playoffs, and because Jared Goff's gonna have to prove he can play in the playoffs.
Last year he choked against the Falcons. He
played terrible. The Rams were a much better team than the Falcons last year, and the fact Jared Goff played so bad, it kind of let his team down. I mean, the Rams are better now, but Jared Goff is still gonna have to show that he can win big games for them to. For them to get to a Super Bowl. And so with that being said, to recap the list, I have number 5, the Panthers, number 4, the Saints, 3, the Patriots, the Chiefs at 2, and the Rams at 1.
All right, well, Hayden, we're not going to thank you for joining us in the segment.
Yeah, you guys can enjoy the rest of the podcast. It's probably not going to be great. I mean, if you want, you can cut it off here. The only two segments
it's past your bedtime.
Player of the Week and
Power Past your bedtime, games. Buddy.
Go take
Whatever
some NyQuil.
Whatever they say after, I'm not responsible for. The Pigskin Pick'em, they're probably going to suck at like they did last week. So you guys can enjoy Nick and Johan for the rest of the podcast.
The only people that came here to see.
Are you, was that supposed to be an insult?
What, sad. Me?
Yeah, was that supposed to be an insult? Saying that.
Don't make that me make an offensive joke. Don't make me do it.
Oh, okay, okay.
I just said they can enjoy you guys the rest of the podcast. Whatever you want to make out of it, you can.
It was more of your tone. It was more of your tone. But you know what? We'll just end the segment there. We're going to stop their suffering.
That's at least.
Yeah. All right, well, thank
you. Hey, people watch Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless. So even though they're
And Will Kane. But
even though I don't think my takes are bad, people
Cowherd,
watch
look,
people
look,
with bad takes.
Cowherd exists. I forgot the guy who he does the show with. Oh, my gosh.
Jason
I have
Whitlock.
To look him up now. Thank you. Whitlock exists. They have jobs. They'll pay anybody to talk about sports these days.
Colin Cowherd stopped doing the show with Whitlock.
Oh,
he should probably stop doing.
They brought the guy from Marcellus Wiley from Sports Nation to do it with them.
Oh, he's not bad, but Cowherd could probably stop doing.
I like
Marcellus too.
Wiley because he was talking trash about Andrew Luck and saying that he doesn't know how people think Cam Newton isn't a better quarterback than Andrew Luck. So I appreciated that.
I agree. Fine. I mean, Andrew Luck has also never had a good O line. Or
what has Andrew Luck done in the league though? Like, what has he done?
He's won just as many Super Bowls as Cam Newton has, all right?
Where's his MVP? I don't see it. Where's his Super Bowl appearance?
Waiting in 2015. All right.
Wins against the Patriots?
Hey, if we're being fair, the Patriots cheated with the Deflategate thing that game.
You're not wrong.
Okay, so Johan finally admitted it. Okay, we have to get this down.
We did better in the second half. We scored more points. If anything, like right. Garrett Blunt ran
End
the
this,
heck
Johan.
Out of- All right, so Nick, now it's time for us to discuss what Week 6's game of the week is. Not many great games, I guess. There weren't many games that stood out. But for me, both of us. It's a consensus
we have
game
a consensus
of the week,
game.
We have a consensus, but we do have an honorable mention. So should we do honorable mention first, or you want to do?
Let's just go with the honorable mention.
Okay, so our honorable mention: Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. This is Pittsburgh's last game before they enter the bye. We can get back Le'Veon Bell, and this game is going to be important if they want to return in the division. At the moment, they are 1.5 games behind Cincinnati. Sorry, it took me a second. They're a game and a half behind Cincinnati, so winning this game would put them in great position to be at the top of the division. You win this game, you get Le'Veon Bell back. Not going to say you run the table, but you get probably one of the best players. You get the best, or the best running back in the league, arguably with Todd Gurley. So, yeah, this is an important game for them. Cincinnati's been great this year.
At times.
So, I mean, yeah, for the most part,
they've had a few pretty solid. They've played good throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're 4-1. They're one loss to the Panthers. So if that's their one loss, I mean, they're going to be fine. But this should be a shootout. Both high scoring offenses this season. So it'll be interesting to see. The game is going to be the game will be in Cincinnati. So maybe we get a little bit of road Ben.
Yeah, he's not played too well at Cincinnati in his career, so
yeah. But yeah, I think that it'll be an interesting game. That was our honorable mention. But
on to the real game of the week.
The real game of the week is Sunday Night Football. Thank God, finally an actual good a Sunday Night Football that deserves to be prime time, because last week you got Texans Cowboys, but this week the Kansas City Chiefs head to Foxborough to face the New England Patriots, the reigning, defending AFC champions, who got their asses handed to them last time they played Kansas City.
In the Super Bowl. Oh.
No, we lost by a little in the Super Bowl, but Kansas City has usually played well against New England. The last two, last season, I mean, came into Foxborough. I mean, the banner presentation for the Patriots game one. I mean, they just came in and wrecked them, and that was with Alex Smith. I'm really nervous with Patrick Mahomes coming in, because the Kansas City Chiefs offense showed that they can put up points against anybody, and the defense showed that it's competent. It can be competent.
All right. Well, my take on this, just to keep it short and sweet, it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Very.
But
my fantasy team.
It's not going to be a blowout. The Patriots are going to keep this close. Bill Belichick knows how to scheme, even with a bad defense. So he'll be able to stop Kansas City at some points. Tom Brady knows how to run an offense. He'll be able to score these against the Chiefs. So it's just going to be a clock management game. How long can Brady keep the Chiefs offense off the field?
Yeah.
And with the way they play offense and how poor the Chiefs defense, I think, is. But Mahomes might not see the ball too much.
I mean, look, they're 31st in yards allowed. So they're, you know, second to last. They're the second worst passing defense, and they're 24th in rushing yards. And New England has found they have two star running backs. I mean, James White, more of a receiving back, but he's been really good. And Sony Michel, I mean, has kind of with Rex Burkhead's injury, has kind of come up and taken the role as their main running back. So, yeah. I think that those are two weaknesses that their Kansas City defense is a weakness, but this is also a team that, I mean, is scoring at tremendous rates this year. Yeah. And I mean, they're second in points behind, and I'm pretty sure they're probably behind the Rams, but
they are.
I mean, look, fifth in total yards, 11th in passing yards, 11th in rushing yards. They have a balanced offense. They have weapons. Kelce, Watkins, Hill will probably score at least one long touchdown like he did last year. I mean, this New England team, the defense has been all right. They're 9th in points allowed, but if Kansas City against what was the best defense in the league in Jacksonville, they put up 30 and one, I mean, like I said, a pick six. But, I mean, look, this is going to be a rough game defensively. If you're a defensive coach, you're going to hate life. But it'll be fun to see. I think this is, aside from the Jacksonville game, I think this is probably the toughest game Patrick Mahomes will ever play. Bill Belichick, like you said, has been able to find ways to stop high scoring offenses before, and this game, yeah, I think this game will just be clock management and who can which defense could make a stop.
Yeah, should be a fun game. Should be an entertaining game.
It should be a great game. I'm excited for it.
Me too.
The Patriots have kind of worried me this year, we always hear about the hit. I love when Max Kellerman talks about Tom Brady hitting a cliff and then has to like change up what he meant. He's like, no, I didn't mean this. So I think that, you know, we'll see a good battle. So yeah, I'm excited for this game, and I think everybody should be excited. So yeah. All right, so now it's time for our last segment for this week, Pigskin Pick'em. Last week, I didn't do so well with my picks. Got 9 correct, but I missed on the 49ers. I thought the 49ers would beat the Cardinals. I thought the Jags would beat the Chiefs. I was completely wrong about that. I thought the Packers would win, We were all stunned by the Browns beating the Ravens. And the Titans. Yeah. Losing to the Bills, which is such a disappointing thing. But now, yeah, very. So let's now pick week 6. So first game, Thursday nighter, Eagles-Giants. The 2-3 Eagles will be heading to East Rutherford to face
New Jersey.
The New York Giants, who are 1-4. The Giants finally scored 30 points in a game last week. They finally got Odell to score a touchdown. I'm also not going to pick against the Eagles. I'm going to say I think the Eagles win this game. I don't know about easily, but I do think Carson Wentz will be able to put up points in this game. And although the loss of Jay Ajayi is going to be very, very rough on them, but he's usually injury prone, so I think they'll be fine.
I think this is a bit of a trap game. I think the Giants are better than they've been playing. I think the Eagles are worse than people think they are. Like, I don't think this is just a slump. I think this is the Eagles team that really exists. They played high on emotion last year.
They did. They did. They were.
I think the Super Bowl run was still going to win. The Eagles, in my eyes, are still going to win. But I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to come down to probably the final drive.
So we're both going to go Eagles on this one. Buccaneers, Falcons. Buccaneers coming off their bye after getting destroyed by the Chicago Bears. 2-2 going into Atlanta, who are 1-4. I think that this, I don't know how much of a must win this is, because I think they've both already lost on the division.
They have.
Although, and both have struggled. Both have terrible defenses. This should be a very high scoring game. I want to see what the line is. So where is it? Okay, so Atlanta's a 3.5-point favorite, but the score is 57.5 points. So. Yeah, it'll be a high-scoring game. It's also Jameis Winston's return from suspension. So
he played last game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. His first start since the suspension.
Yeah, first start.
Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. But yeah, who do you think is going to win this game?
I think it's going to be close again, but I think Jameis is going to make a fatal mistake, probably fumble or a pick or something. Or just make some bad throws, and it's going to let Atlanta win.
Yeah, I agree. I think Atlanta at home, I'll take them at home in a high-scoring game. And, I think it should be a entertaining offensive game. All right, next game, Bills-Texans. I'm going to go Texans.
I'm going to as well.
But if somebody told me that the Bills could win this game, I'd look at you a little funny, but I'd be like, they've managed.
It's definitely possible.
Their two wins are against Titans and sorry, I got confused because the Eagles. I don't know managed to say Eagles, but Titans and Vikings. One of these is not like the other. If we're gonna put it correct, because the Vikings, we do expect a lot more. The Titans are just an up and down team, and a disappointment in a way. But I think that Deshaun Watson will will play fine. DeAndre Hopkins will continue to be amazing. So, yeah, I think that the Texans will beat the Bills. Oh, I'm trying – okay, so the Texans are 10-point favorites in this game. So, yeah, I did want to include that.
The Texans have shown they can capitalize on mistakes, both the Colts and the Cowboys. And God knows the Buffalo Bills are mistake prone, at least. So
yeah, the Vikings game was just like we said; it was just there's no way to explain it.
Something,
but the Titans game was like I thought they were gonna win, but the way the Titans are, they're just so up and down that you could take a team like that. But yeah, moving on to the next game, Bears Dolphins. Dolphins losers have lost their last two games. Excuse me, against New England,
the fall from grace, and the Bengals.
The fall from grace. You still think they're gonna make it to the playoffs?
It's gonna be rough.
Look, man. Hold up. Our bet was Cleveland and
Miami and, having who has more wins.
Yeah. So I mean, it'll be interesting. I hope they play at some point. Do they play at some point this season?
I don't think they do.
They do not. Yeah. It would have been fun, but yeah. I'm gonna take Chicago in this one.
I am defense going to as well. Their defense that is defense terrifying. Defense is crazy. Man.
Yeah. Do I expect Mitch Trubisky to throw for 6 touchdowns again? No.
Hell no.
Because it's just not gonna happen. But I do think Ryan Tannehill will struggle. I think that Dolphins offense just won't be able to get anything going. So, yeah, I'm going to go the Chicago Bears in this one. Did I say how much they were favored by? Or they're three-point favorites. They're three-point favorites, which I believe that they'll win by more.
Yeah.
Now, the next Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Arnold mentions Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. That will be a high-scoring game. It'll be a fun game to watch. 53 points is what they think will be scored. And Cincinnati's a 2.5-point favorite at home. Is there anything you want to say? Because it's going to take me a second. It's a hard pick.
Try to keep it short and sweet. But I think it'll be Cincinnati just because I don't like the Steelers on the road. I think Cincinnati's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
So I'll just go ahead and take Cincinnati. Just because road Cincinnati. Band.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been that bad away from home, but
he has been outstanding, and he may have to be outstanding if his defense doesn't play like they did this past week.
Yeah, Cincinnati, like we said, I mean, Cincinnati fourth in points scored, Pittsburgh fifth in points scored. So, I think I'm gonna agree with you on the Bengals pick. I think that Andy Dalton will make a play at the end of the game. I think that it'll come down to the last drive. I think it'll be like the Falcons game where it'll be a game-winning drive to beat the Steelers. On to the next one. Chargers-Browns. The Browns will be making their way to Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, the Chargers will be making their
there way we to go.
Cleveland. Sorry. Chargers 1-point favorites. The Cleveland defense is legit. They played the Ravens defense for being real, but I do think that the Cleveland Browns have looked like a better team. I think last week what they showed was usually we'd expect the Browns to be beat in regulation, but I think to me they showed that they're a team that can win scrappy games. They played a great defense, and even though they only won 12-9, it's a low scoring effort. It's still encouraging that your rookie quarterback can lead your offense down to score a game winning field goal. So
yeah, I agree.
And the Chargers offense or the Chargers have been solid. I mean, Melvin Gordon has been spectacular this year. So, yeah. And Philip Rivers. So they're the Chargers being eighth in points scored. Just wanted to throw that out there. So, but I'm still gonna go Chargers in this game. I think that the Chargers will win this game. But I think that the Browns are not an easy win like they have been. So now we move on to Colts Jets. The 1-4 Colts, led by Andrew Luck, will be visiting the Jets, the who have just come off a win against. So
this is really a tough one because both these teams aren't that good.
They're not.
I can see this being a low scoring game because the offenses suck. I can see this being a high scoring game because their defenses suck.
Well,
I'm not sure what to think on this.
The offense. I mean, look. T.Y. Hilton has been injured. Jack Doyle has been injured. Those are, you know, big weapons for Andrew Luck, but this also isn't a great Jets defense. I don't think it's gonna be high scoring either, but
I'm gonna take the Colts just because when it comes down to it, I'll take Andrew Luck over Darnold.
Yeah, I'll do that too, because I also don't expect oh my gosh, his name is Isaiah Crowell to
rush for 220 again.
220, yeah. And what was it, 220 and two touchdowns, or was it just one?
Yeah, two touchdowns, I believe. So don't quote me on that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that the Colts win this game, but I think the Colts have been very underwhelming this year. I thought that the return of Andrew Luck would help them, would be a little more, but at the same time, the Colts have not been friendly to Andrew Luck. They haven't provided him, I think, the tools to succeed. Now we go on to two underwhelming teams, Seahawks and the Raiders. Seahawks 2-3, coming off a loss to the Rams. And, I mean, look, 33-31, they're competitive in that game. I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you're content with that. But if you're a Raiders fan, I mean, the season hasn't gone the way you thought it would.
Yeah, definitely not. Gruden hasn't really helped anything.
10 years for $100 million.
It's tough for that franchise, man.
And I mean, you'd be excited, but if I was telling some friends, I'm like, look, 10 years, man. Bill Belichick.
That's a long time.
Bill Belichick's contract isn't like that. Sean McVay's contract isn't like that. There's no other head coach being offered 10 years after what, a 10-year break. He took off He took off 10 years. So I don't know. I think that the Raiders have just been very disappointed. It's disappointing this year. Amari Cooper has been just. I thought that he'd be a lot better this year, but he's been trash. So,
I'll take the Seahawks to win just because they're the better team.
Yeah, Seattle 3-point favorite. I'm gonna take that too. I think that Russell Wilson will probably play a great game this week, I think. So the next game, Cardinals Vikings, I'm not even gonna have to discuss. Yeah, there's not much to discuss.
All right. Next game, Vikings.
All right. Panthers Redskins, Panthers coming off a bye week, playing the Redskins, who were very disappointing in their game against the Saints. Panthers offense, not as many weapons as the Saints, but a solid offense. But I do think that Captain Checkdown will struggle once again.
He will.
Yeah, and I think he will. I think the Panthers will win this game, and I think they'll. I think they'll win pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are going to win this. I don't know if it's going to be that comfortably, but I have confidence that they'll get it done.
Yeah, I mean, look, Washington's a 1-point favorite. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't looking at the line, but then I was looking for it, but then it says Carolina is – so it's a 44.5 points that they're projecting and a 1-point – and Washington's a 1-point favorite. I don't think the game will be like that. I think the Panthers will probably dominate.
I think they're going to win by like 10, maybe 14.
Yeah, I was going to say 14 for me would probably be where I'd put it. Rams Broncos, another game that doesn't. Although the injuries to Cooks and Kupp, they could. I mean, it could factor in. I don't know if both will be. I think Kupp might end up playing. The hit on Cooks was pretty bad.
It was. He got decked. Kupp, it looks like he's going to play. He looks like he's fine. He may have been like a precautionary holdout, but Cooks may not play.
The weather, though, is projected to be 30 degrees, so it's going to be a cold one there. Yeah. But 52.5 points is what they think is the projection. The Rams are 7 points favorites. The Denver offense has not been good. Case Keenum, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, has not played well. So, I'm going to take LA on this one. I think that they'll win by probably two touchdowns, at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I've got a lot of faith in LA to win this game.
Yeah,
I don't think that'd be close.
Yeah, this should be a pretty big Todd Gurley game because they'll end up just having
it will be.
They'll be up early. Jaguars, Cowboys.
Jaguars, Cowboys.
Both coming off losses. The Jaguars probably more disappointed than the Cowboys. Cowboys did lose by a field goal at the end of overtime. But the Jaguars. I mean, I thought that they'd be able to do better against the Chiefs, but they're going to play an offense that has been not good. Jerry Jones, just like John Gruden all this season has been saying, you know, it's very hard to find a good pass rusher. Jerry Jones has said it's very hard to find number one receivers.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I'm just trying to find the line for this game. Why can't I find it? I'm sorry.
Well, good.
Okay, here it is. So Jacksonville 3-point favorites. I mean, look, the Dallas defense hasn't been that bad this year. I mean, they're 8th in total yards allowed, 5th in points allowed. So 2 top 5 defenses when it comes to points allowed. But to me, it's just that I think Blake Bortles for some reason has. I think he has more weapons than Dak. Zeke, I don't know how big of a game Zeke will have. I mean, Jacksonville 14th in rushing yards allowed with 101. I think that they could maybe. I mean, they could maybe hold Zeke, but holding Zeke is hard. But I think that they're gonna frustrate Dak a lot.
It's going to have to be a big day from Zeke if the Cowboys want to contend.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Jaguars in this one. I think Blake Bortles kind of rebounds from last game, and I think that they'll – yeah.
I'm also going to go ahead and take the Jaguars.
All right. Moving on to the Ravens-Titans. Both coming off very, very, very disappointing losses. I mean, man, you lose to the Browns. I thought that the Ravens were starting to look like a contender in the AFC. I mean, and I thought the Tennessee Titans were finally looking like a solid team. Okay. Looking past that.
I'm going to take Baltimore.
I'm going to take Baltimore just off the fact that Titans offense is very frustrating. They don't have a run game.
The Ravens team. Way more than I trust this Titans team.
The Titans don't have a run game. Their passing game is iffy. And, I mean, Corey Davis and Taewon Taylor are going to be stopped. So, I think that the Ravens will win this game. Baltimore 2-0 at Tennessee. So, now on to Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs Patriots are game of the week for this week. I don't know who to pick.
I'm picking Kansas City just because I think they're the more complete team.
Yeah,
just off recent performances, that I'm just going to go ahead and pick Kansas City. Although I'm not going to be surprised if New England wins this game.
I don't think it's going to be any surprise for whoever wins. Both are very good. I think that the Patriots will probably, even if they lose this game, I still think that they'll be fine for the rest of the season. The defense will continue to improve, but this is going to be an important game for the defense. If the defense can just somehow find a way to stop the Chiefs from putting up a bunch of points, it'd be nice. But that's you know what? I'm going to stick with Bill, and I'm going to pick the Patriots. I think that they will win this game and give the Chiefs their first loss. But I still think it's going to be – I still think that the Chiefs will put up a – will have a big game. The Chiefs offense will put up a bunch of points. But I think that the Patriots just make one stop that that allows them to win. So –
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah. So, New England 3.5-point favorites and a 59-point – and Vegas predicts them to have a 59-point game, so – or 59 points. Now moving on to a – what looked like a pretty good Monday nighter going into the season.
Yeah, 49ers-Packers. Now it doesn't look too great.
If the Packers want to improve and get their offense and defense – their offense going out there, I want to say their defense should have a pretty good time with the 49ers. This is the game where you want to maybe Aaron Jones breaks out and
get some momentum going into the bye week.
Yeah, I'm going Packers on this one.
I am too.
But now it just comes down to the score. Like I said, 9.5-point favorites. With 46.5 points is what they're predicting. This will be a blowout, I think.
Yeah, I think
if it was at Levi's, and I think that it could have been different. But in Lambeau, they're going to be pumped, coming off a loss to a division rival. I think that the Packers will probably win very comfortably in this game. I'm going to say the Packers win this 42-14.
I'm not going to be that generous.
I think that the Packers are probably going to get at least
I'm not going to say score because I really don't know what's going to happen, but I think the Packers are going to win fairly handily.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that the Packers will probably get one turnover off of Bethard. I think that Aaron Jones could probably – I think that maybe this game will be his breakout game. I mean, the 49ers aren't exactly the greatest defense. They don't have a great defense, but you're going to be up – by a lot, so you're going to run down the clock. So it should be not great and not good Monday night game. Man, there have been if you think about it, there have been a couple of games that going into the season you thought would have been better.
Yeah.
Some prime time games. Injuries. Yeah. Look, like Giant, we get like next Monday, we get Giants, Falcons.
Oof. That's like a spoilable match.
I mean, last week we got Cowboys, Texans, so I don't know. This is just one of those primetime games where it's not that exciting. I don't think I'll end up watching. So yeah. All right, well, guys, that concludes our Picks and Pick'em segment and our last segment of the show. Thank you for joining us this week.
Hang on.
I forgot.
I've got to talk about the greatest sport on earth yet.
Alrighty.
Shout out to USC 229 for being the best USC event I've watched in my lifetime.
It was look. I didn't really watch the whole thing.
I watched the prelims. I watched the prelims. I watched the main card, the main offense. I watched it all, man.
So if you haven't watched it yet, but I will say this. Go look at the knockout that
Derek Lewis on Volkov. That right hand, man. That thing needs to be registered as a deadly weapon. That punch is not okay.
If I remember correctly, he was going to lose that fight, right?
He was staggering. He was going to lose on a unanimous decision. With 10 seconds left, his only hope was a knockout, and he slung that right hand.
And the beauty of combat sports is that all you need is just one
punch.
One punch or one kick. And and then his post fight interview was a thing of legendary. And I didn't know about the thing that he said, the beef he had with the chicken he had with Cormier after he said something about Popeyes, but it's a really bad thing. I don't know why I said that. But going on to probably the biggest news from the weekend, which was the Conor McGregor fight. Just chaos.
Let me take it from here, Joe.
Yeah, you got it.
The Conor McGregor, Khabib, Nurmagomedov fight was everything I wanted and then some. I wanted to see Conor McGregor get his ass handed to him, and it happened. And it was so nice to see.
So I didn't really know much about the whole build-up to the fight. I knew that
I knew about the Brooklyn bus incident.
But I had only known about Conor's side. Maybe that's just the media
gotten much publicist just because of his religious, political stance, everything that goes on with him. But he is 27-0. He is the best pound for pound fighter the UFC has to offer. Until John Jones returns at UFC 232.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that if Conor was talking pretty darn some stuff, man.
I mean, some religious insults during the match. Apparently people from Conor's corner were calling Nurmagomedov a terrorist. So there's a lot of bad blood between them, which started the fight outside the octagon after Nurmagomedov made Conor tap.
I mean, look, I think to me, I'm not much of a UFC fan. We watched a couple of fights together, but I'm not that big of – unless it's a big card or notable names. This one, I mean, it's Conor fight. I was going to watch, but I think to me the most impressive thing was the fact that Khabib – I'm not going to attempt help me. I'll just say
Nurmagomedov.
Okay, Khabib, the first round just grappled to death. That he had a great ground game, and then at one point in the fight, I remember him
mid-second round
standing toe to toe with Conor, boxing, and he landed a hit that took Conor
staggered to Conor.
Yeah, and I mean, man, it was just he dominated him.
Yeah. And everybody knows Khabib is a superior wrestler, but Conor's supposed to be able to win in that striking fight, and he didn't. He got outpunched by the guy who's supposed to win by wrestling. So
did I don't know if you saw this, but there's a video where it was they were showing Khabib was actually like trash talking Conor, like he was like
yeah, while he was grappling him, he was trash talking him.
Yeah,
it was just a phenomenal fight. Shout out to
It was just it was a good fight. I mean, Conor got dominated. I don't know if he deserves a rematch based off what I saw.
All of that performance, he doesn't deserve one, but they're gonna
give him one because it's Conor McGregor.
And just the hype around this fight was so big that they're gonna have another rematch. They can't turn down a fight like this.
And, I mean, undeservedly, he's going to get a rematch, like you said.
It's going to be for the titles.
Do you think Khabib wins the rematch?
Absolutely. Conor, until he learns to grapple, will have no shot at winning this match.
He can't
learn to grapple in 3 months.
I guess maybe as somebody who didn't know about Khabib much, I guess Conor's a more exciting fighter because he does have those notable knockouts. I mean,
Khabib is so much more fundamentally sound. They're worlds apart.
But what's so fun about fundamentals? Well, I started
following Khabib after his knockout or his decision win against Michael Johnson. I went back and looked at a lot of his fights. People get on him that he's boring. This dude can strike with the best of them. He is pound for pound until John Jones comes back. He is the best fighter in the UFC.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like he's comfortable on the ground.
Yeah, if you can control the ground game, then you can win every match. You don't need to be the best striker to win.
No, that's what I was saying. That's why for me I didn't know much about him, because with Conor you have like those. Well, first of all, he trash talks, so he's gonna be.
Yeah.
In the news and stuff, but he also has some notable knockouts and just stuff like that. But I thought I think it was just a great fight.
Some other news fight. From the UFC. The headliner of 230 is going to be Derek Lewis versus Daniel Cormier for the, I believe it's heavyweight title. They both fight in heavyweights, don't they?
Yeah.
Are they middle heavyweights?
They're both big. I know that.
They're for the most likely the heavyweight titles, I believe.
I'll look it up.
The headliner for 232 is going to be John Jones' return from suspension. Hopefully, he does not suspend it again by then. But John Jones.
I hope not, man, because he's such an exciting fighter to watch. He's so good.
He's still my favorite UFC fighter.
He's such a beast, but I mean, he can't.
Just don't do drugs, guy. Don't, John. Just don't do more drugs until you kick this guy's ass.
I mean, he's done it before.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, on this card, the Anthony Pettis-Tony Ferguson fight was really overshadowed. That was a phenomenal fight. They beat the living hell out of each other. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, just also wanted to go back. The end of the fight between Conor and Khabib was also very wild.
It was wild. I can't say I'm surprised about it, though. Just knowing all the bad blood that exists between these two camps and the fighters themselves.
There are just a lot of tweets that I saw, and one of them was like, you can't call Khabib's dad like a terrorist and like talk about his religion and not expect any repercussions.
Yeah, exactly. Connor's probably gotten this through his mind that he's untouchable. Well, you're not going to go around slandering a guy's family like that without getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean... So, I'm really happy about is
so far people were freaking about the repercussions that could come down on Khabib. A lot of it has not happened. Dana gave him the belt. They have not stripped him yet. Nevada State Athletic Commission has not suspended him. They have not revoked his visa. He's still living in Vegas. So as of right now, he's not being punished. Connor's team is not filing lawsuits. Khabib's team is not filing lawsuits. So.
Yeah, here are just two tweets I wanted to read that were pretty – I liked. So one of them was, Connor says racial shit or borderline racial shit all the time in pressers, and he finally talked to some shit about people who were down to meet with that energy. And I think that's true. I think Diaz was probably the last person that Connor fought that actually was about it.
Yeah.
That was willing to get wild and just didn't care about the repercussions. So, and then here's another one that made me laugh was, Connor was talking some reckless shit to Khabib and his whole team. Khabib just came with that energy. I can't blame him. You can't talk shit to a man that wrestled bears.
Oh my, those videos of him wrestling bears are absolutely legendary.
So, yeah. So, basically this, we've now, this is now the end, right? Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We had Pigskin Pick'em, but we wanted to give you guys a little bit about UFC because it is pretty big. I mean, combat sports has grown a lot in popularity.
It is one of my favorite sports, so I enjoy talking about it.
Yeah. You wanted to mention it, and I agree with you. I think it's something that's worth being brought up. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast, and enjoy the football this weekend. Enjoy the Patriots beating the Chiefs. And regaining their they wouldn't be up in the standings, but becoming the best team in the AFC again. Enjoy your games, and we'll talk to you all next week.
All right.